Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Come and ask your questions, share your concerns, experiencing life on 657 AM.
Healing power is found in the Lord of Lords and in the King of Kings. That is Xoli Mcongwa this afternoon, right here on Heart to Heart, Healing Power. And talking about healing, today we are focusing on long-term effects of childhood sexual abuse. But we know that God is able to heal. He's able to do it and heal exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think of. Am I saying it correctly, my queens?
Yes, absolutely.
He's able to do that. I've heard somebody asking me, but really, 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 can somebody be healed from sexual abuse, especially when you grew up and as a child, you found yourself in such a situation at home. And so is it possible really to heal? But I know a God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think of or even imagine. And so we are back at it again. Mm-hmm. Let me welcome the mother to Nicolette.
How are you, Sibongile?
I'm good. Dominique, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
So we left it hanging the last time. We had to pack it and come back.
There's just not enough time.
Yeah. And so today you and Pastor Clement are bringing me some jewel as well.
Yes.
A queen.
Yes.
A psychologist at that, a clinical psychologist, Sis Petunia Linono. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Did I say your surname correctly?
Yes, perfectly.
Ah, I love that.
Yes.
So Dominique shared her own journey at the beginning. And as we went on, we learned about some of the effects that and some of the things that one who has been molested and abused as a child sexually, that they might show up with as they go on in life. Dominique, I think we can go back a little bit and talk to some, to us about what are some of the things that one could show up with when in their life they have been molested. And I think when I check at children, at a child, at the children who are talking about sexual molestation and abuse, I find it's an ongoing thing for a period of time. It's not just a once-off.
No.
Some are groomed into it and they think at the beginning, this is fine, this is how we play with Uncle so-and-so or with Aunt so-and-so. It's acceptable. And then as they grow, they realize, but that is wrong. There's a feeling that, no, something is wrong. I also heard somebody saying, my body was betraying me.
Yeah.
And I think I've even heard some international speaker, which I won't say her name on air, mentioning it, that your body would even betray you if you're groomed into it. Because it's enjoyable the way they do it and you feel, then this is pleasurable. This is good. But in the long run, as one grows, let's go back a little bit. What are some of the things that they might be faced with?
You used a very good word, grooming. So it depends, I think, many cases, at what point did the abuse start? And at what point do some feel that this is just that the way that life is? Let's look at a child in a household where your body is just a commodity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you grow up thinking, well, this is just, it's like having dinner, like brushing your teeth. You don't know any difference. So, you know, it's a feel good. It's the same feeling you get when you get butterflies in your stomach, that you don't know any different. Then you have other children who are taught from a young age, the 5-inch rule, this is your space, no. And then it happens to them and they realize that they've been violated and taken advantage of. And 90% of the time, it is a family member. It is a close relative, the neighbor, somebody that they know and they trusted that breaks that trust. So for in my case, it was a father figure. And you grow up feeling that violation. In some cases, you distrust everybody. Any male figure in your life comes, you generalize everybody.
What about God? Because he's father.
It depends when you became a child of God. You know, we're all born into this world, but when did you find God? I found God at the age of 10, and the abuse had already happened to me. And thank God that he revealed himself to me.
Yeah.
Because I believe today that he saved me in many cases from destructive behaviors as a child, from abusive behaviors, because, you know, no learning or being having that experience in your life, you can emulate that with your peers, that, well, this happened to me and it seems to be something that happens, so I'm going to do it to the person next to me and I'm going to do it to the person.
Yeah.
And you create the same abuse amongst your peers because, well, this is just the way life is.
Yeah.
And, you know, coming into God.
And I don't think you view it as abuse when you do it.
So at the time I was 10 that it happened to me, and, you know, friends talk amongst each other, and, you know, we didn't have WhatsApps back then and things like that. But you have a little bit of exposure to the naughty magazine under mom's bed or wherever, or friends or older brothers and sisters. So I remember when I came to my mother to tell her what was happening to me, the words I used to her was, I sat next to her on the bed and I said, "Mommy, I know what rape means and something like that has happened to me."
Okay.
And I remember her sitting upright on the bed and, "Who was it?" You know, the 20 questions, and then, you know, the ripple effects from that. So, and this was my elder stepsister who forced me to tell my mom, because we had shared intimate details, you know, just sisters sitting next to each other, having a moment on a Sunday afternoon. Now, how many people don't have that opportunity to share where the secret can be exposed and the healing can begin? How many are carrying the secret with them till today, feeling that they were the perpetrators? I remember many times, because the abuse wasn't a once-off thing. We lived with him after my parents got divorced, and I would know exactly when it was going to happen. We had what we call in Afrikaans, huishoudvriende, adult friends that my father would go and visit regularly with us, and they would drink heavily, and I would know, tonight's the night. I could know exactly when it was going to happen.
Meaning that even the friends knew?
I don't think they knew, no, because they would drink together, and then the drive home, I would know, okay, tonight's the night. He's been drinking, it's going to happen. And in the home we lived in, he made sure that I had the room where the door couldn't lock.
Sure.
And my little sisters would be in their room, and they would go to bed, and we'd all go to bed, and then he would enter my room. And it would be a regular thing for about 2 or 3 years until we went to go live with my mom after she remarried. And at that point, I knew what was happening to me was wrong, because fortunately, my circle of friends, even at the age of 10, were talking about these things. In grade 7, standard 5, we had sex education in school. I remember our parents had to sign a slip giving the school permission to talk to us about these things. So the schools did educate us about that, this, your body is your temple, it's private, it's yours. They taught us that this is special, this is precious, what your virginity is precious. And I knew that had been taken away from me. And that I no longer had that gift, that preciousness to give to someone else one day. But thank goodness for friends. Thank goodness for church. Thank goodness for, I still today say God really put me on a path, because I didn't develop into that person that was abusing others or bullying others.
Yeah.
You know, God guided me into a position where, when finding out about others who were going through the same, that you could sort of become that community to each other and that strength to each other, and lift each other up in your moments of depression, in your moments of sadness, when it's happening, guiding them to their person, their adult that they could speak to for them to get help and counsel.
Sure. This is Petunia. I came across a Facebook page.
Yeah.
Somebody, an adult, was tagging the Department of Social Development and the SAPS and everybody else to say, are we going to do something to help this child? And this child has posted her mom and the father. I'm not quite sure if it's the same situation with Dominique, who has, she thinks it's her father, but it's not her real father. And I'm not quite sure about the setup right there. But she says they are out there and they are spending my Sasa money. And she mentions that this happens to me on a regular. I'm sure there are cases like that that you meet. And I remember the SAPS saying, if you as an adult, you know about it, but you're not reporting it, then you're an accomplice.
Yes.
And how many know about it and they are not doing anything about it? Mm-hmm. The child says he has been arrested, but he's out from time to time. And I think that also becomes one of the injuries that the system does implicate onto the one who is the victim.
Yeah. It's really sad, and unfortunately we still have families who still feel that they need to protect such acts, you know. So if you report it, it seems like you are bringing embarrassment to the family. So they'd rather keep it quiet, they'd rather deal with it within the family, you know. And when they say that they deal with it within the family, you find that they do nothing. You know, that is them dealing with it within the family. And it's such a lot of injustice for the victim, because remember that the victim is just a little girl. But it's not only, it's not only girls, it's boys as well. You know, it even hits hard for boys because it's very difficult for them to even speak about it, even when they are older, to come out, you know, because of the stigma and, you know, that tigers don't cry. So as men, the society, so the society still encourages men to bottle up feelings and to not allow themselves to feel. So it does a lot of injustice to the victim, you know, and when they grow up with that pain that they are all alone. Because as a young girl or as a young boy, you would expect an adult to protect you.
Yeah.
You know, to stand up for you in some way. So if nobody does anything about it, it just adds on to the psychological trauma, you know, that you have experienced through that whole ordeal. So it really... that is what also prolongs the healing process, you know, as an adult, because sometimes you find that the child, they don't, some people are not as fortunate as Dominique to speak about it at an early age. You find that they keep it only in their 30s or 40s or even 50s. You know, that is when they feel the courage to bring it forward. So you can just imagine what has been happening in those years, the psychological traumas, the psychological damage, the emotional impact that this person has been carrying with them all along. You can just imagine. You can just imagine.
And so what are some of the long-term long-term effects that would show up in adulthood of one who has gone through this ordeal?
Yeah. When something like that happens, remember that it tempers on your identity, your sense of self. Firstly, you would ask yourself, why me?
Yeah.
Why did this person pick me and not somebody else?
Yeah.
So they take your sense of being. So your identity is ripped off, you know, your sense of trust. You know, you don't trust yourself, you don't trust people. So you find as adults, we get adults who are emotionally bruised. We get adults who are not readily trusting of other people. We have adults who have challenges in terms of intimacy issues. Some may be afraid to be intimate, whether emotionally or physically or sexually, but then you find some, you know, in a way of them trying to deal with that whole situation, they become the opposite.
Yeah.
So instead of shying away from intimacy, they overdo everything. So that is where you find some, you know, they will hop from one sexual partner to the other. Yeah, in order to deal with that pain that they cannot find a way to get over. So it can be like that. And you will find a lot of behaviors. Sometimes you find that is where when people become depressed or they just become anxious, you know, they just become fearful of everything and of people. Some even become paranoid because they think that, you know, they carry that experience with them wherever they are going. So it predispose individuals or victims to a lot of psychological ills that it becomes very difficult to deal with as an adult. You know, because the more you leave something untreated, the more you do not speak about something, is the more it gets embedded, you know, in your emotions, in your psyche. And the deeper it goes into your psyche, the more difficult it is now to deal with it, you know, much later on, you know, because people have this misperception that if I don't talk about it, it will go away.
And it doesn't.
It doesn't go away. Mm. You need to deal with it. You need to face it.
Sure, I've heard Dominic, I've heard a mother saying, when I get home, the first thing I do, I run to my son and I turn him upside down, trying to check if anybody did anything to him, because he's a baby, he can't talk. And the ones who can talk, I ask, are you sure? Nobody did anything to you.
Yeah.
So you become that kind of a parent. Yes. Paranoid as well?
Paranoid. Yes. Complete paranoia. Yeah. Look, you have to be... That's why we try and encourage people to find your person, you know, whether it's your church, whether it's a helpline, whether it's your counselor, somebody that you can trust. And a lot of people feel that they were the cause of the abuse happening.
Yeah.
I dressed provocatively, or I said something, or I caused this to happen. I deserved this, right? So you always have this cloud hanging over you of guilt that I'm the one who made this person do this to me.
Mm.
But it's an illness. It's an abuse.
Mm.
It's a violation of you. And now you become this paranoid parent, always checking.
Mm.
So you have to seek counseling for this, you know, whether you're in a church with registered counselors, whether you have access to a psychologist, that you can process this. Because for a long time, I didn't believe in therapy because I felt, well, I have my girlfriends and they my best therapists, because we'll pour a glass of wine and we'll
share. But
they
do not understand this.
Well, some of them have gone through the same, so they completely
But we are not helping each other to a certain point.
So at some point, your demons never leave you. So you need that impartial person, and depending on whether or not you want to continue to pursue it, to actually take this person to task, to take this person to trial, to have yourself released from this. But the paranoia, absolutely, you become this paranoid parent. You start to actually also limit your children because you're not allowed to sleep over at friends.
Yeah, you're overprotective.
You become so overprotective that you limit your children. So this is a bloodline curse that continues into, it becomes a generational curse where you're limiting your kids from thriving. Teach them how to protect themselves. Teach them not to walk alone. Teach them always be in a group. Teach them, take them to self-defense classes. Teach them that no matter who it is, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, that they will always be protected and believed. Now, I use the word believed very forcefully because there are people who falsely accuse people, whether to get back at them, whether to get revenge on them. And I actually feel that in those cases, men or women who falsely accuse another of such a heinous act, the problem with this is twofold. Number one, you wreck that person's life, their reputation. But number two, it's because of liars like that, that people like myself and others are always considered false until proven true. Which means we don't get the protection.
So it becomes very hard for the true victim to be believed.
So we do not get the protection we need because of the lies out there. How many people have been falsely accused? And that person who does the false accusation needs to be punished with the same punishment that a real rapist would be punished.
Yes.
So, you know, because that accusation is life-changing.
Yeah. So now, coming back to you, Dominic, and then I'll be going back to Sis Poichunia. I've heard people saying at some point, because it happened so many times, I felt I am called, this is me. I'm made for this. And I don't know. Rape calls on other rape encounters or almost rape. I don't know what to call them. Like a person would be almost raped.
Molested.
I've heard of people saying you have to deal with it in the spiritual realm, the ties because it will follow you. And so a person says, I felt like I'm this is me, this is who I am, I'm made for this.
Some people, if I look at myself, for example, I cope with it, or I accept it, because it means while it was happening to me, it didn't happen to my sisters. I was the gateway that while he was attacking me, he wasn't attacking my younger sister.
So you felt like they are protection.
With that protection, yes. So there's different faces to that. It becomes part of your identity, perhaps, sure. that when you go to school, as we're talking about children and schoolgoers at this stage, this is just who I am. This is my identity, and it's part of the puzzle pieces that make up my life. But it's what you do with that puzzle piece that then, are you that puzzle piece that doesn't finish the picture, or are you going to take that puzzle piece and actually plug it back in to your frame and use that beautiful puzzle that you are, that finished picture, and do something with this and not let it destroy you, because then that perpetrator wins twice.
Sure. Okay. Then the perpetrator wins twice. Yes. Before we take a break, Sis Petunia, what are some of the psychological, disorders that one would show up with if they have been raped as a child, but this can only show up in adulthood? So I've heard of something like vaginismus. I've heard of anorexia. anorexia nervosa. I've heard of OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, and people use these willy-nilly.
I know.
and when it's now a serious matter, it becomes hard to take a person serious who's gone through that. But I don't know if these also are connected to somebody who has been molested as a child. Can show up like that in adulthood?
You can have symptoms that resemble anorexia nervosa.
Yeah.
And anorexia, for those who don't know, is an eating disorder, you know, where somebody has an unhealthy relationship with food, where they punish themselves through not eating, you know, and some even become bulimic, where they would throw up every time they eat because they have this unhealthy relationship with their bodies. They have this negative self-image.
And it was brought because...
It could, you know, because we also have predisposition to depression, where as an adult you are just a depressed person. You know, because an untreated depressed person can be an unpleasant person, you know, where you find that socially they don't want to interact with the people socially. They are more withdrawn. They are generally sad and gloomy, you know. So a depressed person, people don't really want to be around depressed people because, you know, they're just down and low, you know. So you find the depression, you find people struggling with sleep because it's also some of the symptoms of depression, sleep problems. Again, we have eating problems in depression as well, where you find a person overeating or undereating. But apart from depression, the other one that is more prevalent is anxiety, where you find that the person is just generally fearful.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, they're just scared. They don't have self-confidence. There's a lot of fear, there's a lot of self-doubt. There's a lot of questioning of who they are. So you find that you get somebody who's quite not sure of what life is about, who they are, what is happening around them. So they become very, very fearful and very touchy, if I can put it like that. You know, so those are some of the psychological disorders that you can see. And also, you know, the other issue that we must also maybe talk about and just bring it out to the fore is the issue of unforgiveness. You find that the victim has a lot of unforgiveness inside of them. You know, they cannot forgive themselves, and because at some point they also blame themselves for what happened, especially as a young child. Remember that it has nothing to do with how you look like or what you are dressed like or whatever. It's not your fault. But as a child, you are not able to comprehend that. You're not able to differentiate that. So you internalize everything that is happening to you. So you find an adult that struggles with unforgiveness.
Yeah.
You find an adult that struggles with guilt. Because at some point you feel guilty about what happened, that I might have been the one who led him on, mm-hmm. or I mm-hmm. you know, I encouraged the situation that I placed myself in. And, you know, when you're looking at unforgiveness and guilt issues, that is where now you tap into the spiritual. Mm. You did ask Dominique about, you know, somebody finding identity in yeah. being a rape victim. You know, yeah. it goes now, that is beyond psychology. Mm. That is more on a spiritual level, because you find one person being molested as a child, and as they grow up, they are still raped, you know. So, and they have done nothing wrong. They just find themselves in that situation. And maybe for me, you know, as I encourage people to say, we must remember why we are here mm. on this earth. Mm. You know, everybody is here to fulfill a specific purpose. Mm. You know, and everything that happens in life, painful as it may be or joyful as it may be, mm. is leading us to our own specific purpose. Mm. So, we need to go beyond that, mm. you know, yep. decide. And whatever happens to you, it channels you towards your purpose.
Okay.
Because there's something that God wants you to do. Okay. You know, are you somebody that's supposed to liberate others
yeah.
on molestation and rape or what? You know, so we must take it, we must look at it the other way to say, what can I do?
Yeah.
How can I turn this into a positive? How can I be
okay,
victorious?
Okay, right there. Yeah. We are coming back. We are being victorious now when we come back. because that is like really needed. And I think when we come back, if you can explain, how do I get there? Because it's been years of me carrying this.
Mm.
Dominic said even at 50. Dominic, you mentioned some years even between 50 and the childhood. It's been years.
Mm.
And now you tell me I can be victorious. Mm. How do I get there?
Mm.
How do I get there? What should I do? But let's take a break, taking the sounds off to me. Be Father, I need you on Skom Terug.
Discover an abundance of life. 657 AM.
For there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer request by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
The search continues for top quality South African Christian music. If you are a new artist or releasing a new CD, then send it to Radio Pulpit. For more information, please visit the Radio Pulpit website. That's www.radiopulpit.co.za. Or phone us during office hours, 012-334-1200. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit.
Heart to Heart.
That's where you at. We are Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. And yeah, gave you the sounds of Dumi B. Father, I need you. And I am Swinging the Mufuking with you up until 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, we say hello to Germany, Johan Nelson, something else. And yeah, afterwards, you will also have Pastor Ray Lichori at 6 o'clock on Tuesday Live. Right now, right here on Heart to Heart, I have my beautiful queens in the studio, Dominique, and our psychologist in the studio, Sis Petunia. We're talking about the long-term effects of childhood sexual abuse. And let me just say our shout-out to Kyla Ferreira and Chantel Kutsia. And, Nicolette, we did say hey to Nicolette. Kyla says, hey, watching the live stream now and wanted to say well done to Dominic for speaking up about this and raising the awareness that is needed. My father was very similar, and I feel grateful that others are rising up and sounding their voices and letting themselves be heard. Thank you, Radio Pulpit, for allowing the space. We thank God for Dominic, for Pastor Clement, for this Petunia who come through and say, let's deal with this. Let's work on it. And there's a way out. There's always a way out. Yeah. So you said there was a way out, Sis Petunia, and you said you can get to the stage of being victorious.
Yes.
Do not allow it to victimize you further.
Yeah.
But you can be, and you can have victory over it. How do you get there?
It's let me start by saying that it's not as easy as it sounds. Mm. It's very difficult, you know, okay. to get there. But you need to make a conscious decision to say you want to overcome this. Because as much as people talk about healing, unfortunately, there are some who don't want to heal. Okay. You know, healing serves, I mean, the lack of healing serves a specific purpose in their lives. Mm. You know, but then for those who want to be on the other side, we need to start by making a conscious decision to say, I want to get healed. I want to get over this.
Okay.
Yes, it might not be easy, but it is possible to do that.
Mm.
And the second thing, especially for people who are not comfortable enough to speak about it to anybody, it's better to write it down.
Okay.
Write your experience down. Mm. If you're not ready to voice it out, if you're not ready to tell anybody, because when you put something on paper, it really brings you a lot of relief because you need to be relieved from what you are going through.
Okay.
The other thing, the other route that you need to take is to forgive. You need to forgive.
Mm.
You need to forgive.
Mm.
Forgive first yourself. It is not your fault. It's really not your fault. And forgive the person who has done it. Because you find that a lot of victims, they get stuck on the unforgiveness part. You know, and I'm stressing unforgiveness because it really does a lot of damage inside your body.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does unforgiveness disrupt your normal bodily equilibrium, but then it disrupts your normal.
Also, can you be sick from that?
Yes, yes. That's what that's where I'm getting to say. You know, every thing that we go through, you know, the thoughts are very important.
Mm.
You know, your thoughts are very important, and the more negative thoughts you think of, because unforgiveness is negative in its own right, you know. You secrete poison. So they are chemicals that are working towards your well-being. I'm just simplifying it.
Mm.
So the more you harbor unforgiveness, the more you think about unforgiveness, is the more now you are secreting chemicals that are counterproductive to your body. You know, and those chemicals, they really predispose you to a lot of physical illnesses.
Mm.
Liver problems, kidney problems, diabetes,
asthma,
you know, hypertension.
Mm.
And unfortunately, we don't see it until it is too late.
Sure.
So we need to forgive ourselves,
mm-hmm.
forgive the perpetrators,
mm.
and let us deal with guilt. And, you know, it is difficult, I must say.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as easy. And that is where you need divine intervention.
Because now you have to face the wound again.
Yes, and go to the Lord. Okay. You know, I always say that there is no mental health without spiritual health.
Yeah.
It all starts in the spirit.
Mm.
You know, take care of your spirit. Reconnect with the Lord. You know, reconnect with the Father.
Mm.
If you are struggling, ask Him to give you strength.
Mm.
Ask you to help you to forgive.
Mm.
Because we are speaking about it lightly, but it's so.
Mm-hmm.
It's painful,
mm-hmm.
you know, and people think that when I'm forgiving somebody, I'm letting it go or I'm letting the person free. Mm. No. Forgiving somebody, you are doing it for yourself,
right?
Not the other person. So you are freeing yourself, you are healing yourself, you are making yourself victorious.
Okay.
And again, think what you can get from that situation.
Okay.
I'm such a positive person, you know, to say, yes, things didn't go my way. I've been violated. I've been wronged. I've been in pain. But what can I do to make it better?
All right. Time is not on our side. Yeah. Time is so jealous. Dominique, what are your closing statements for today? We are packing. We are coming back to now talking to the victor and walking that victorious journey. Because I think, as you said, it's not easy, says Petunia. So because the wound, you have to pour whatever medicine on the wound, open it again, cleanse it. Sometimes there's pus in there, so you have to deal with it. All right, but we'll come back. But what are your closing statements, Dominique?
So this platform has allowed us to be a voice for the voiceless.
Mm.
And I want to encourage those who have gone through this trauma to decide what is their identity that they want to own. Do they want to own the identity of victim or victor?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't have to be the best swimmer, the best musician. You just need to be the best in your community, the best in your world that you have, you know. So you be the victor from your circumstances and excel out of that and find the purpose. You mentioned purpose earlier. We all born with a godly purpose, with a railway line from point A to point B, and this abuse has derailed us somehow. But we use that trauma as a stepping stone. Step on it and step over it and use it as the fire to ignite you into your purpose.
Yeah. All righty then. So how do we find Dominic once more?
You can find me on social media, Dominic Tibbles, on Facebook and Instagram. And you can follow our nonprofit Belly to Brain, Belly, the number two, Brain. And just take part in our various outreaches that we do as we uplift and fire up our communities.
We are not done. We're coming back.
Excellent.
Sis Petunia, how do you find Sis Petunia?
I'm on social media, so I'm just Petunia Lenono. And also, I'd like to give people my telephone number to say you can send a WhatsApp. You can always chat. It's always convenient. 072-971-1324.
Oh, that is so fast. 072-971-1324. My queens, thank you so much for talking to us today. And thank you for allowing me to make you run like you've never done before. And you were able to run. But I know that we are not done. We are coming back because the healing is starting today.
Yes.
And it's a journey. Mm. So let's take that journey with everybody who is finding themselves in these spaces.
Yes.
And thank you so much for coming through. May the Lord keep keeping you. As you take care of his own people, may he take care of whatever that you need and meet you at your point of need. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you.
Ah, time. We have to say goodbye to you. We are signing out and we're saying hello to Germany. Johan Alf, leaving you with the Sons of J Moss. We must pray. So let's meet tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. I will be with the Tex Umbert. So do be part. Know more about what's happening. There's a survey they are running, but find out more tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Do enjoy the rest of our shows. We love you. Have a great one. And we say hello to Germany. Johan Alf.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, a companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.